What is going on, guys? This is Brendan Burns, and welcome to the Brendan Burns Show. Join me as I interview, dissect, and share the stories of high performers who have created the life that they deserve on their terms. I sit down with speakers, professional athletes, and successful entrepreneurs from all over the world who have chosen to live a life of fulfillment and joy over status and money. In each episode, I share actionable strategies that you can implement in your life, plus inspiration along the way. So come join me for this episode of The Brendan Burns Show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Brendan Burns Show. Joining us today, all the way from Anglesey, Wales, is Tim Matthews, the founder of The Powerful Man. Tim is a men's empowerment coach, speaker, and soon-to-be author. He's also the creator of the Activation Method and is a master at helping men to unleash themselves from the patterns of self-sabotage and negative self-talk. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, brother. It's a pleasure to be here. I have to give props to the team. I wouldn't call myself a master, but if that's what they want to write for my bio, I will take it.
There you go. That's good. I'm going to hire a good bio writer. Call me. Yeah. It's funny, when I started to build out my team, they would go on to our sales calls and just talk me up in a way that you can't talk yourself up, you know?
Yeah, it sounds a bit weird. Like, I'm writing for myself, calling myself a master. Yeah, I don't really feel that way, but... yeah, when other people call you, okay, I'll let it fly. It'll do.
100%. Well, I'm super excited to get to know you more on this episode and share your story with the audience. So why don't we kind of start from the top and go back in time and, you know, what was your upbringing like? How did you get from where you are today from back then?
Wow. Yeah, my upbringing was an interesting one, you know. I was actually speaking to my mum about this on a Saturday. So my partner of 10 years, Amelia, her and I want to start a family in a year or so, probably end of this year. We keep saying a year or so, Brendan. We keep seeming to push it out. It's been a year or so for like 3 years.
Yeah.
but anyway, I've started to ask people close to me the question. Let me just check what the question is. What mistakes have you made as parents, and what do you wish you'd have learned sooner? I've been asking some people close to me that question, some people I really admire as parents. I asked my dad it, and my dad said, nope, I haven't made any mistakes, wouldn't do anything different. What do I wish I would have learned sooner? And my mom said the same on Saturday. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, I think we were really, really, really great parents. I'm like, yeah, you were good. Yeah. Okay, so what would you have changed? And I'm sure I'll get into my story, but I've had quite a journey in growing the powerful man. It wasn't something that I purposely built. It came from a place of my own pain and my reaching my own breaking point and just sharing it on social media, quite frankly. And a lot of that was around the inadequacy I felt as a child and the relationship or lack of relationship I really had with my father, and how that then showed up for me in my 20s through various different, issues, we'll just call it, and challenge, which I'm happy to share. But point being is, when my mum asked me this question, I said to her, yeah, look, you know how I feel about this. The one place that didn't feel like home as a child was home. You could feel the tension between you and my dad. My dad, you know, he had multiple affairs as I was a child, and there was just a lot of tension between him and my mum. My sister, who's 7 years older than me, moved out when she was about 14. So it kind of felt like I was an only child a lot of the time growing up. My father was the kind of father who commanded respect versus earning respect. And I walked on eggshells around him a hell of a lot as a kid. And I was terrified of him. He wasn't the kind of guy that displayed positive emotion very well. at all.
Why do you think men, young men and growing men's relationships with their fathers can either be so powerful or so kind of negatively impactful? Like, what do you think it is about that bond or lack of bond that can create so much future, you know, good or bad?
I think it's a few things. One is modeling, you know. Warren Buffett, obviously one of the richest men, if not the richest man alive, he says the secret to his success was the great relationship he had with his father. I think it's because, one, you model certain values and characteristics, but also it really builds a sense of self, right? I think it's primal as well, right? It's that masculine figure who you are typically looking at to understand, hey, how do I navigate through this world around me? And if they're displaying dysfunctional, destructive, unhealthy behaviors, it, for me at least, and a lot of the men we work with, it kind of leaves you confused as to who you are and how to operate in the world, because you've never been shown a way of doing so.
Yeah. No, that's really powerful. And I guess kind of the next question is, what are some of the beginning steps that you can take to repair, not just repair your relationship with your father, but kind of repair maybe what you didn't get, or start to build up those qualities that are missing or need to be healed?
Oh man, great question. So some of the beginning steps, I think you need to get very real with where you're at and what's going on for you. You know, for me, like I was saying, the way it showed up for me, the dysfunction I had with my father and the lack of worthiness I felt within myself, the way that showed up in my 20s is that I started my first business and I just attracted problem clients, problem customers. I undercharged for my services. I almost died from taking too many drugs, not in an overdose, but just being a Jack the Lad, you know, going out with the boys and just crazy. I remember that night, it's like I had an insatiable void I just couldn't fill. I used to put my self-worth into honestly just cheating on the girlfriends I had by attracting the women that all the other guys wanted. I got into a relationship where I was engaged. We'd booked the wedding. We'd bought the house. It was a 4-bedroom detached house. It was supposed to have kids in. I should never have been in it, ever. Not in the house, in the relationship. It was an absolute nightmare. My life was just a pattern of stress, struggle, and sacrifice. And in my late 20s, I woke up to this fact. One thing led to another, and I called off the wedding. I never moved into the house, ended the relationship, got rid of the business partners that were robbing me of tens of thousands, restructured the business where I was more like a firefighter than a business owner, and just went on this absolute mission of truth, really, which might sound a little bit vague, but what I did was I realized that all the decisions I'd made up until that point in my life, they all went against my gut instinct. Every time my gut instinct told me to do something, like not propose, I was too afraid of being alone or the rejection, so I proposed. So the first moment to the healing is understanding how these patterns have been influencing you. And for me, it was then just to be honest with people. And the way I did it was rather public and started to share every single thing through social media. I never used to post on social media, so it was kind of crazy me getting skeletons out of the closet, posting pictures of myself in my body, just in my underwear, social media. Like, hey, here's me in my body. Hey, when I used to do this, that's why, and so on. One of three reactions happened. People even thought I'd joined a cult, gone insane. Or the other third one was guys just started reaching out to me, because I was talking about how as guys, we often try and pursue in business, and underneath it, we often don't feel good enough, and there's some insecurity there, and so on. And it's a mask and blah, blah, blah. And some guys started to reach out. So I think the first thing in the healing journey is to just accept where you're at. If there is issues or gaps, if you will, get real with yourself, come clean, begin to address those, because it's in the process of you addressing them and being honest that you start to release some of the guilt and the shame that you've more than likely stacked up by living a lie. And in the process, you can just begin to really rediscover really who you are and what you want.
Mm-hmm. I so resonate with your kind of taking everything and just putting it on social media, because sometimes maybe it's been a little bit overshare for me, but at the same time, I feel like that vulnerability can empower others to say, oh, okay, this is, you know, this is real talk, man. I'm not the only one. And then they start to reach out, and that's what, oh, boom, you just like this coaching business just forms around you. So
yeah,
I appreciate you being vulnerable, even if it was maybe, okay, this is my darkest moment. What am I doing right now? You know?
It was, do you know what was, I'll always look back on that period of my time as one of the most freeing periods. When you have nothing to hide, I mean, you have nothing to hide, right? It's just freeing. The heaviness is just taken away. And especially as well when you understand what was driving your behavior before, and instead of shunning it, you can turn to it and face it and own it and transform, you know, your pain into your power, if you will. It's incredible.
Yeah. That's so good. So you've mentioned this a few times, and I totally agree, and I wanted to share a little bit more about it. So the identity, the I word, right? And how when maybe we don't get that love or that parenting that we all need, we start to blame ourselves. We start to build that shame. We start to kind of not see our worth. What was that process like for you of healing from the shame and building up your identity on a more solid foundation, not in the world or money or women?
Yeah, so the first instance that comes to mind, so when I was going through this process of getting rid of the old business partner and sharing on social media, looking a bit crazy, it was happening over several months. It didn't just happen over the course of a weekend. These things, these stones were being unearthed really over the course of several months. And anyway, I connected with a guy, and I firmly believe people come into your life at certain times, either for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And this guy certainly came in for a reason. And I was talking to him, and he was saying to me, hey, have you ever asked your dad if he's proud of you? I'm like, no. It's like, okay, so are you up for a challenge? And obviously I said, yes. Everything inside of me wanted to say no. But I said, yeah, sure, what is it? He said, I'll give you 7 days to ask your dad if he's proud of you. And I'm like, oh, I just felt the tension in my stomach. Something so small and simple. Oh, my God. So anyway, it got to the seventh day, and I'd still not done this. And I kept delaying it and delaying it and delaying it. Anyway, it got to the eighth day, and I'm just, this is nuts. I drove around there. And I sat down with him, and I just, well, I didn't sat down with him. In fact, I walked in the house. He was stood up at the counter chopping some food because he loves to cook. And when you walk past that kind of a strip of laminate flooring, if you will, go straight out into the garden. So I'm walking around the garden, rehearsing in my mind how I'm going to say this. It just felt like the hardest thing I ever had to do. Going up to the patio doors, and I'm about to ask it. I just kept freezing. I've never had that in my life before. I just kept freezing. And in the end, I got the words out, and he's like, what did you say? And he's like, I said, are you proud of me? And he's like, of course I am. Why? Like, because you've never told me. And he just dropped the knife, came from behind the counter, sat down, and I just shared with him how for most of my life, I'd not felt good enough. Obviously he'd heard me and seen me sharing some things in social media, but I don't know how much he was paying attention to it. But I shared with him how the drugs and the cheating and the business and the relationship that I was in, where it was just toxic and abusive, all of that was because I just didn't feel good enough. And I shared what it was like as a child and memories of me, you know, scoring lots of goals at football, soccer, and coming back home, being excited to tell him like it was my moment. He was really going to see me. And him just shoving me to one side and sitting on the chair with a beer, and me just never feeling good enough. And no matter what I did, it was never enough. And he just apologized. He said, I'm so sorry. I never knew you felt that way. I don't even remember that day when you came home to tell me you'd scored all those goals. My upbringing was really tough. I didn't know how to give you love and emotion in that way. I never received it. My father figure was the man that first employed me at the age of 17. And I'm doing my best, and I love you. And It was just an amazing, amazing conversation. Almost like one of those deathbed conversations, if you will. And we just talked about his upbringing, and it was kind of one of those conversations where, in his eyes, I think we went from man to boy to man to man. And the level of respect and appreciation for one another that came up in that conversation was huge. But it came off the back of a few months prior, him and I having a real altercation that I also shared on social media, where he basically kicked me out of the house because he was abusing my mum, quite frankly, verbally abusing her and being awful to her. And he then came up, he'd been drinking too much, he used to have a drink problem, and he came upstairs looking across the hallway and said, "Make sure you take those fucking dogs out before you go to bed." I'm like, "Don't speak to me like that." I'd had that all my life. I could feel it bubbling inside. I didn't say it like that because I was terrified. But I could feel it because, like I said, the past 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, I'd been on this rampage, if you will. So I stood up and I'm like, "Don't speak to me like that. I'll speak to you however I want. You're in my house." "No, don't speak to me like that." Him and I went back and forth a few times. In the end, he said, "Get your bags and leave." The following day, coincidentally, I was meeting his brother for lunch. So my uncle. We were supposed to be talking about business, but I walked in there and I just told him exactly what his brother was like, because nobody knew. To everybody else, my dad was the life and soul of the party. Amazing man. But behind closed doors, it was very different. I told my uncle this, told him what he was really like, how much he drank. I got my mum on the phone, I had her confess everything. I got my sister on the phone, I had her confess everything. He was gobsmacked, my uncle. They said, "Take me there, dude. I need to fix this." And I didn't speak to my dad for several days. I wouldn't have a relationship with him. And when we actually finally spoke, I said, "Look, I don't need you in my life anymore. Just like you don't need me in yours. I want you in my life, but I don't need you in my life. If you want to be in my life, then these are the rules that I'm going to play by. I'm no longer going to keep coming down to your level." I just listed several things, like about his drinking and how he talks to me. And just, I didn't realize it back then, but I was putting boundaries in place.
Yeah.
And he said, "Hey, look, I'll do whatever it takes." And we reconciled at that point. It was a great moment. He overstepped the mark several times afterwards, but I held firm on the boundary, not from a place of anger, just surrender, really. And then later on, that was when that conversation about whether he's proud of me or not happened. So a lot of honest conversations was the way I did it with my dad.
That's amazing. And I guess one thread we can kind of go down is boundaries. You know, I know a lot of people who have challenging upbringings. Obviously, it can come down to not setting those boundaries with their family. And so I'm curious, you know, what advice do you have for people who might have a family member who either crosses the line or can get into that abusive territory? What do you do when, you know, obviously you modeled kind of how to start to set them, but I'm more curious, how do you continue to enforce them? Or what happens if the family member just over and over again, no matter what, just seems like they just can't do it or won't do it?
Yeah, I think we can all resonate. I think one family member probably comes to mind for all of us when we hear that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think the first thing, you've got to understand what's important to you. I mean, back then, I didn't even know what was important to me. I think I'd reached the point where I knew what I didn't want. I didn't want to be spoken to in a certain way. I didn't want whatever it may be, which then obviously she told me what I did want. I wanted respect, really. I wanted to be treated in a respectful manner. So obviously you first get to figure out where the line is for you and why that is important to you. Like, what does that provide you with? Really get clear on this, because it's really important to understand that. And from that point, once you understand where you stand, it's all about then how you communicate that to that person. It's up to you how you do it. You can address it head on, right? If you need to. And in doing so, obviously remind them why you're doing it. "Hey, I'd love to have an honest conversation with you. I love you. You're important to me. Our relationship's important to me. I want it to flourish. In order for that to happen, I just need certain things to happen. Can we have a conversation about this?" And usually they'd say yes. If they say no, then that's different. Then obviously you share what's important to you, but don't. My advice would be to not come at it from a place of blame. When I had that conversation with my dad about, are you proud of me? And he said, yeah, why? And I told him, I never said, well, you did this and you did that and you did the other. It was all about, well, this happened as a child and I chose to believe this. I chose to think that. I. My sister's tried to have similar conversations with my dad, but she's come at it from, you did this and you did that and you did the other. And he's just got defensive. He's got his back up and he goes on the attack because no one wants to feel like they're hurting another person, right? So in communicating this, make sure you share what you want and why it's important to you and keep reminding them that you love them and the relationship is important to them and so on. It's up to you in that moment where they communicate what the consequence of the boundary will be if they cross it. You can choose to do that or not. It depends on the context of the conversation, right? But as soon as somebody crosses it, what I did with my dad, I just wouldn't entertain it. I didn't get into excuses or reasons. I can remember one time when he tried to speak to me in a certain way. I just said, if you keep speaking to me like that, I'm going to leave. Very calmly, honestly, lovingly, openly. He's like, oh, and just stopped. And I think one time I did leave. So he knew I was serious about it. He knew there would be a consequence if he overstepped the mark. Whereas other people in my family I can think of who have chosen to not respect the boundary, I've had to remove myself from certain situations and distance myself just to protect myself, quite frankly, because they're choosing to not listen and not learn the lesson. And in that scenario, if I continue to choose to put myself in it, you train people how to treat you. I can't complain about anything, right? So, yeah, it's never an easy one with family, is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's some super helpful guidance that we can implement. And I'm curious, what are some examples either with you or maybe some of the people you've helped where what happens when you start to kind of have that respect for yourself and set better boundaries? Like, what are some positive benefits that you and maybe some people you've helped with this have been experiencing?
Yeah. I mean, one of the fastest ways to build confidence is to make and keep promises to yourself, right? Equally, one of the fastest ways to lose confidence is to make and break promises to yourself. So if you're leaving a conversation with a family member, say, I'll never let them speak to me like that. I get you really angry and so on. And the next time it comes around, you let them, well, you feel quite rubbish about yourself. You've just violated how you see yourself. And if you don't feel as though your word means anything to you, that significantly holds you back in many other areas. You become very doubtful. You can become very doubtful and insecure and second guess yourself. Equally, the converse is true. If you don't let them speak to you a certain way, in whatever way you do that, and you make and keep that promise to yourself, your self-image becomes reinforced, almost like, yeah, I did it. Yes, yes. Your confidence goes up. You're able to take bigger risks. Obviously, it's all relative, right? But it's a risk in that moment for you to own your truth. It's scary. It takes courage. But it fuels into every other area of your life, whether it's, you know, in The Powerful Man, we talk about five territories: self, health, relationships, wealth, and business. We see it influence every territory. The guys become more confident, like I said, as a result, the fitness improves because they get outside of their comfort zone. They take bigger risks at work. They ask for what they want more often at work and at home. Their relationships level up personally and professionally. They tolerate a lot less. They get a lot more charges in their life and get rid of the drains out of their life. There's so many benefits. It could just goes on and on. It's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Wow, that's amazing. I know the power of men's work firsthand, and I totally agree. And I'm grateful to have you take what you've experienced and turn this into such a good thing. You know, and I love that about what you're doing. And the next question I want to ask you is, kind of going back to when we feel alone or we have a fear of being alone, people can jump into the wrong thing, the wrong relationship, the wrong marriage, the wrong engagement. And so I'm curious, What have you learned about that process? And so if you're kind of maybe working with someone who does have that fear of being alone, what should we do instead of jumping into that wrong thing?
Oof. Yeah, you get to go and be alone. Being alone is very different to being lonely, right? I always say it's very difficult to be rejected when you don't reject yourself. Like, if you reject yourself by maybe not listening to yourself or not paying attention to your own wants and needs or speaking up or whatever it is, in that moment, subconsciously, what you're saying to yourself is, I don't matter to me. Equally, when you do listen to yourself and you do speak up and you do ask for your needs or whatever it may be, you're saying, I matter to me. So typically when people are afraid of being alone, it can result in them being codependent, right? And they enter into relationships for the wrong reasons, looking for other people to fill them up, looking for other people to give themselves something they haven't figured out how to give themselves, whether it's companionship or connection or whatever it may be. So yeah, you really get to go and be alone. Maybe that's in nature. Maybe it's with a men's group. Maybe it's an event. Maybe it's whatever it may be. But you definitely get to go and venture into the reasons why you don't want to be alone. Because so many people want to distract themselves from being alone, whether it's through social media or alcohol, porn, work, money, whatever it may be. There's so much of it these days. We see it all the time. We have a lot of very successful businessmen running 8-9-figure companies, guys who trade on Wall Street, companies you've probably heard of, that come to an event that we run called the Alpha Reset. It gets to the root of where a lot of it comes from with them, because they've done the same thing. They don't want to be alone. So distract, more work, more money, more pursuit. And yeah, such, but you've got to face it.
That was my old life. I worked as an investment banker in New York City. I had company cards, black car, meals, and you're on a hamster wheel of, you think that you're going to solve that hole in your heart, that identity problem, yeah, that loneliness, that whatever unhealed trauma with the next house, the next watch, the next car, the next promotion. So
100%.
You're preaching to the choir, man.
It never ends, right? It never ends. The more you earn, the worse you feel. The more you succeed, the worse you feel. Because the more you think you have the answers, and you feel ashamed as well, right? Because you feel guilty. Hey, I've got all these things that should make me happy, but they don't. I should be happy. Why aren't I happy? Am I not grateful? Is there something wrong with me? There's all these different stories that go on. But you've obviously done a lot of work on yourself, Brendan, which is fantastic. So kudos to you. Because you got to figure that out.
100%. No, I appreciate you saying that. I wanted to ask you, okay, so a few things. You said so many good things there. I'll start with this one. It's hard to be rejected when you don't reject yourself. Say more about that.
Yeah, so when you are looking for external validation, whether it's from the cars, the home, the watch, your image, essentially. So something outside of yourself, whether, like I say, it's a form of your image or even a partner or whatever it may be. You are basically looking for other things to prove to you that you are good enough, essentially. But when you're able to figure out how to give that to yourself without the need for it to come externally, whatever form that may be, you begin to accept yourself. You begin to fall in love with your quirks and the journey and the battle scars that you've got and the wounds that you've had, and kind of make peace somewhat with the mistakes you've made too, right? Because sometimes that can be hard to come to terms with. An element of forgiveness in here as well, self-forgiveness, an element of compassion that you have for yourself. And it's amazing when it might sound a little bit woo-woo to a degree, but in my experience, the most fulfilled people that I know, regardless of income level or whatever, and that's what I want peace and fulfillment, right? Whatever that journey looks like. I think that's what we all want. We all are chasing work or relationships or whatever it may be, because we think it's going to give us some level of fulfillment and peace. So anyway, when we figure out how to give it to ourselves, we don't reject ourselves. We accept ourselves, we embrace ourselves, and therefore it's very difficult to experience rejection from others. Because if someone does reject you and whatever, however form that may be, says something stupid to you, calls you a name, whatever it may be, it just doesn't land. It isn't how you see yourself. It isn't how you're living. It's like me saying to you, Brendan, right now, Brendan, you're purple. Would you get offended by that? Or would you just... Exactly, because you know it's not true.
Oh, it's not true, yep.
So it's the same thing here. When you know it's not true about you, it's very difficult to feel rejected because it's just not how you see yourself. It's just that person, their opinion, they're free to have it, and they can have it, and they can own it. That's fine. It's the same thing like, hey, you're purple.
That's really good. Okay, so now I wanted to pull a thread here around fulfillment, because that is something that Tony Robbins taught me probably 7 years ago that I really hold on to. And he always gives the Robin Williams example, the guy who did everything. He wanted to make everyone laugh, and he did. And then he wanted to make everyone cry, and he did through his dramas, and wanted to win an Academy Award, etc. And then he went and he committed suicide. And so I really try to prioritize fulfillment. And you said, we chase success. Well, I don't know if you said this word for word, but I think you were saying people are chasing success because they think that they'll then, through that success, have that fulfillment and peace. Whereas you can actually just go for that fulfillment and peace directly, you know? So I'm curious, can you expand on that a little bit? And how can we get off of this trap, get out of that trap of thinking that the more money, the next level is going to give us that feeling that is accessible to us right now?
Beautiful. Yeah, so I think the easiest way to explain this. So we talk about living from the outside in to the inside out. So when the men come to us and living from the outside in, they are living by a philosophy of have, do, be. When I have the car, or let's say when I have the $1 million a year take home, that's when I'll go home earlier, and that's when I'll be a great father. Or when I have the house, the ideal house, that's when I will actually start to enjoy it, and then I'll feel good enough, right? It's have, do, be. When I have the thing, I'll do the action, and then I'll be X, right? Living from the outside in. And in that scenario, if you imagine a pyramid with five layers on it, at the bottom of the pyramid is business. The layer above that is wealth. The layer above that is relationships, health, and then self. This is typically how the guys are prioritizing the life. They've got business at the bottom of the pyramid, and most of their time and energy is going into that. Above that, they've got wealth. Then above that is relationships. Nothing ever really reaches relationships. They don't really have anything left to give the relationships, which is often where the richness and the texture in life comes from, right? Then above that is health, which is really gets neglected. They're too exhausted, anxious, depressed, chasing, hamster wheel, like you said. And then self. We like to flip that on its head. So the bottom is self, where they begin to prioritize themselves and understand who they are and what they want and their own needs. And instead of getting their net worth confused with their self-worth, they start to understand who they are and break those two apart. Above that is then health. They start to invest in their health and their routines and their happiness. Above that is relationships. Begin to prioritize them, be it with other men, their wife, their kids, so on. Above that is wealth, but wealth takes on a different meaning. It becomes one of real abundance, the energy of wealth versus just money. And then above that is business, but business gets the best of them in that scenario. And in this scenario, they've gone from the outside into the inside out. Be, do, have. I'm going to choose to be a certain way today, and then I'm going to act a certain way, and then have the thing. So for example, I am going to choose to be worthy. I know it sounds vague. All right, be happy is a better one. I'm going to choose to be happy. And then from there, as I'm coming from a place of happiness, I am going to go to the gym and prioritize my workouts. Then I'm going to have the body just as a result, right? But it starts with me being happy with myself first versus me trying to get the body by going to the gym so I can... It's a different way of looking at it. So in this space, this is where you're really able to begin to learn what really matters to you and how to really be able to set your life up so that you can have a lot more fulfillment and optimize and maximize your life for it, rather than, like you said, forever chasing and chasing. And the thing about this is, you know, we like to talk about the return on intention, ROI, right? And there's a lot of power that the guys get from learning to put themselves first and their needs first and meet their needs. It strengthens a muscle within them and they start to really experience an energetic ROI, and they experience the energy of wealth, if you will, which is true abundance, true joy, happiness, vitality, energy. And again, it might sound woo-woo, but we see it every day with the guys. It's from this place to experience way more fulfillment.
Yeah, it's not woo-woo to me because I've done it. I'm not perfect. It's an ongoing process, but I've worked this to some degree and it's worked. So it's like, or maybe it is woo, but I don't care. Like it works. So I love that. And I wanted to ask, just to kind of dig in on that a little bit, if you could share maybe some kind of actionable things like the listeners could do today. It's Friday. So this weekend, right? Or next week, like what are some quick win ways to take action on prioritizing themselves more?
Yeah. So the first thing that comes to mind, and I don't know why this exercise has come up, but I'm going to run with it. So before you can get to where you go, and you've got to understand where you are, right? It's kind of like the idea of you get in your car, you want to drive to somewhere you've never been, you type in the location, Google then calculates, okay, where are you? You can map the route. So keeping in with the theme of this, I think you got to understand where you are. So if any of this has resonated with you, then I'd like you to take out a sheet of paper, draw a big stick man in the middle of it, and then in the top left-hand corner of the piece of paper, write thoughts. In the top right-hand corner of the paper, write feelings. Bottom left-hand corner, write language. Bottom right-hand corner, write actions. Now, I need to think of a time when you were or are feeling triggered and disempowered, kind of like I was for the first 28 years of my life. What were the dominant thoughts that are running through your head? For me, there's things like, why is it so hard? I'm not good enough. Thoughts of frustration and anger, a lot of victimhood, really. So write all those down as they are, whatever they may be. And then go to the top right, actions. So what are the actions you take when you're in that place? Maybe you procrastinate. Maybe you overeat. Maybe you comfort eat. Maybe you drink more. Maybe you go to bed late. Maybe you wake up late. Maybe you don't work out. Maybe you, whatever it may be, write them all down in the top right-hand corner. Bottom left, language. That's like body language. What's your body language like when you're in that place? Do you frown? Do you hunch? Do you walk very fast? What's your breathing like? What is it like? And then finally, thoughts, feelings, language, and actions. The other one, bottom right corner, feelings. How do you feel? Like, what are the feelings that come up for you? Maybe it's anxiety, like anxious, frustrated, angry. What is it? Right. And at this point, I want you to draw onto the stick man the facial expressions that you have. Maybe it's an angry face, whatever it may be. And across the top of the piece of paper, now I want you to give this guy a name. Maybe it's the loser or the angry guy or the angry woman or whatever it may be. Give this person a name. Now, I want you to take out another piece of paper and I want you to do the same thing. This time, I want you to think of a time when everything just felt kind of effortless. Everything just goes your way and you're happy. And it just seems to click. What are you thinking then? How are you feeling? What's your body language? What are your actions? Draw the facial expressions on that person. Get it all down. Take some time with this. You can go through these two in an hour or so. Really, really get it all out. Name this person. The next thing I want you to do is take out your mobile phone and set some alarms to go off on your phone. One at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., 7 p.m. I want you to edit the label of these alarms. At 7 a.m., I want you to say, who is showing up right now? Question mark. And I want that to be the same label for every alarm that goes off at 7, 10, 1, 4, and 7. And as that alarm goes off, throughout the day, I want you to take 5 seconds. Stop what you're doing, answer the question, and check in with yourself, who is showing up right now? Are you showing up as that triggered, disempowered shadow version of you, whatever the name was that you gave it? Or are you showing up as that more empowered, fulfilled, aligned version of you, right? Acknowledge where you are. If it's the aligned one, empowered one, awesome. Keep going. If it's the triggered, disempowered one, okay, what do you need to do to course correct? What's going on right now? Bring some awareness to your situation and figure out what you need to do in order to actually just make a course correction. And start there. It sounds simple, but just give it a try. Awareness is key.
Wow. I don't know if you know, I was kind of like meditating through that a little bit, especially when you did the second one. And I started to think about, because we were talking before we started recording the trip to Cabo that I just went on because we're in the same mastermind.
Yeah.
I was thinking about being down there and just having fun, obviously learning a lot, but having a lot of fun, and my team's closing deals and everyone's making money and I'm just way more, it's like, maybe I do need to just leave the country and let them win without me. You know, it's like that grip, that too much tight grip
of
a release, and seeing the power in that was super helpful. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course, but it's amazing when you create space, what enters into it. It's how the Powerful Man came about, right? When, like I said, it wasn't something I set out to do at all. I had no idea I'd end up doing what I'm doing, and I'm eternally grateful for being able to do what we do. I always say, if for some reason the Powerful Man self-combusted tomorrow, I'd die a happy man. The work we get to do in the world is just incredible. But the point I'm making is, it was from just trusting, learning to begin to listen to myself, trust myself, get those skeletons out of the closet, even when it felt scary and crazy, and just speaking my truth, really, what that was in the moment. And guys just started to resonate, and guys just started to reach out, and I started to just offer some support, and one thing led to another, and here we are. So, but I created space is the point, just like you did in Cabo. You created space, and things flow into that space.
Yeah, 100%, man. So, I mean, it's been so powerful hearing your background, your story, what you do, leading in with an amazing exercise that the listeners can go do right now this weekend. So that was super helpful. As we kind of start to wrap up here, where can people find out a little bit more about what you do? If anyone wanted to learn more about your process or your programs, where can they find that?
Yeah, I think the best place is probably the podcast. You know, we have over 700 episodes now. So you can find that on many places, The Powerful Man Show. It's on YouTube, Spotify, all over the place. So I think that'd be the best place. And yeah, if you find yourself interested, you can then go over to the website and do other things. But yeah, definitely the podcast is the best place to go.
That's awesome. Wow. 700. This is, we crossed through 100 recently. This is kind of like 140-ish right now. And man, that's a lot of episodes. I'm sure you've learned a ton about podcasting through that experience.
Yeah, we've done a lot. We've done a lot of them. And it's growing well. We get tens of thousands of downloads on it a week. So and that's nothing compared to probably your numbers and other people's numbers, but it's a lot for us. So We enjoy it.
That's a lot. That's a lot of downloads for sure. So congrats on that. And Tim, thanks again so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Brendan, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Brendan Burns Show. If you're interested in building or scaling an online coaching business just like me, visit brendanhburns.com/book and get a free one-on-one personalized coaching session to learn how to set it up. Again, for a free one-on-one personalized coaching session so you can have a thriving online coaching business that you can run from anywhere in the world, just like me, visit brendanhburns.com/book to set it up. Thanks again for tuning into the show and have a great day.